there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. It's the Cats Report. And I'm also very prevalent in all titles in Greenspun Media Group, especially Vegas Magazine this month, where I talk to Clint Holmes and Oscar Goodman, who tell me never to drop names. How you doing, Trish?
I'm good. And I just read your Vegas Magazine articles last night, as a matter of fact.
I was told to.
There is a little, yes, someone read it to me because that's how I do things.
No, the stories are as told to.
So, and there's a Wayne reference in there, Solomon Wayne Newton reference in there.
Okay. Oh, it's from Clint.
Yes.
Or a couple of them.
Yes.
That's
so,
right. Yeah, Clint mentioned this. He talks of the golden era, the second golden era of Las Vegas entertainers, with the Wayne being the top of the pillar, and guys all hanging out together and talking about their shows and trying to make it big in Sin City.
Yes, it was very. I was very impressed. I'm like, hey, I know this guy. I sit next to him in headsets. also, it's been one of those just weird weeks.
How so?
Everything that's going on in the world, with everything that happened with the Cleveland people getting rescued, and we found a new favorite in this man. Well, I can't think of his name now. That saved them.
Oh, yeah, the guy on YouTube. What is his name?
Oh, but he is. Let me tell you, one of the. He's a star, and it's an incredible story that you know to not. To never give up hope.
Yes.
You know, never give up hope. Because, I mean, I would think in the circumstances that these women were in that it would have been easy to give up hope. Not to get negative. But then also kind of sticking with my Ohio theme, which I'm from, what happened with the Bulls and the Heat?
Well, you're about a game behind, but I'll tell you
what
happened.
I understand that I am. But let's just
game one. Mm-hmm. In game one, the Bulls pulled off a pretty significant upset and beat Miami in Miami. Game two was the... Heat 115,
exactly.
The Bulls
978,
one of the biggest routes in playoff history.
It can still...
But they did take home court advantage away from them. And
yes.
The Bulls give the Heat a lot of trouble. They do.
Yes, so here's hoping.
They were one of the few teams, one of two or three teams during the regular season to win in Miami. And they also broke their winning streak, their very long winning streak during the regular season in Chicago. So they will give them problems.
Yeah.
But the series is tied 1-1. And for my friends in Oakland, the Golden State Warriors at this sitting are also 1-1. They took game two in San Antonio. And game one was a classic that the Spurs won in double overtime. So it's time for us to get into the NBA playoffs because you're going to be rooting against the Heat.
Exactly. So our bet's still on, right? Our bet's still on.
Did we make another bet?
Well, I just think it's a standing bet.
Yeah, it is an outstanding.
You have the Heat. I have the entire field.
This is a tough bet because every year I've got to have the Heat against the field, and they aren't going to win the NBA championship every year. So I'm going to be owing lots of lunches.
Well, wait, but not maybe not
dinners.
Anytime soon. We don't know. Okay, so get this.
They're favored this year to win it.
I always pick the four horse in the Kentucky Derby.
You do?
Yes, I always, because four is my lucky number. I always pick the four horse. So I have a friend of mine of my parents in Cleveland that always puts the bet. He goes to the Kentucky Derby, he puts the bet. So I'm always like, the four horse. Well, I tried to go make a bet twice at a local sports book here, and they kept closing down. They're like, oh, we'll open up again, blah, blah, blah. So now the four horse was like 15-1, something like that, when I was going to make the bet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it across the board, you know? So
right.
The four horse came in second.
So...
It would have been a lot of money, and I didn't get my bet because twice I went to a local casino, I won't say which one, and they were shut down. I'm like, you guys don't shut down. They do to redo the odds. For the Kentucky Derby, they did shut down. I could no longer purchase. Twice it happened to me.
Huh.
And I would have won a lot of money, so I'm a little upset about that. So that's been my week.
This is why I don't bet on anything that's not human.
No.
I'll bet on a football team, but I'd never bet the Kentucky Derby. But I would like to go to the
Kentucky
Derby.
No, you made a bet on the Pekingese Cats, remember?
Oh,
and I won with the Evan Pinscher.
I didn't make the bet, though, on that. I just had a friendly bet. I didn't actually go to a sports book.
I know,
but
you're still betting me.
Pekingese.
That's, you know,
but that's not
it
like
was very
making
public.
But that's not a sports book bet. But although Johnny Avello, our friend at the
we love him.
Wynn Las Vegas, would probably make book on the Westminster Dog Show if we asked him to.
Well, yeah, Effin Pinscher won again this year, by the way.
That Effin Pinscher every year.
There's something going on with that.
The guy you were talking about is Charles Ramsey, who was the Amanda Berry.
And he's kind of like the sweet brown, like, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, he's the spokesman for all things that are good right now.
Yeah, so exactly. It's nice to see people that are willing to put themselves on the line to help others. It's a good lesson all around, I guess.
I got to say three things here before we get to our guests. We're going to have an Elvis Presley tribute artist contest Friday and Saturday night. Tonight and Saturday night at the Fremont Street Experience. Come on down. I'll be helping judge that with Sam Thompson and Linda Thompson.
Elvis is Linda Thompson.
I wrote a column
and
about
David
her.
And David Foster is Linda Thompson.
David Foster's ex-wife. And also the Rolling Stones on Saturday night. I'm going to be covering them. And on Sunday night, I'm covering Jerry Lewis.
Your friend.
At the South Point. And I've also written about him, too. So check that out on our website. But next, we have two members of the cast and band of Raiding the Rock Vault at Las Vegas Hilton. It's John Payne and Andrew Freeman up next. But first, it's Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Hi, this is Frankie Shinta of the Shintas, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
I've gotten all these things for her. Now she just wants to run away.
She wants to leave that.
Jay, you can't repeat the past.
Can't repeat the past?
No.
Why, of course you can. Of course you can.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire in director Baz Luhrmann's adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's classic novel, The Great Gatsby. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Luhrmann approaches the 1920s set story in The Great Gatsby like he's creating a motion ride rather than a literary adaptation. It's a masterclass in unnecessary camera movement, with distracting 3D and headache-inducing quick cuts. The performances from DiCaprio, Maguire, and Carey Mulligan get lost amid the spectacle, and despite featuring much of Fitzgerald's prose verbatim, the movie is completely devoid of emotion. It's the Transformers of prestige period pieces. I give The Great Gatsby 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release at the Brendan Palms is Aftershock, starring and co-written and co-produced by horror filmmaker Eli Roth. Roth stars as an American tourist caught in Chile during a devastating earthquake in this awkward mix of disaster movie and horror. The character development in the first third of the movie is quickly thrown out once people start dying, and the excessive gore and campy humor make it hard to take the crisis, which is inspired by a real-life earthquake in Chile in 2010, seriously. I give Aftershock 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us right now are two members of the band that powers the stage show Raiding the Rock Vault, which plays nightly at LVH Theater, except for the nights they're dark. They are singer, bass player, and the show's co-creator, John Payne, once of Asia, and Andrew Freeman, once of The Offspring. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us. Hello.
So, Raiding the Rock Vault. John, I will ask you first, where did the idea come from, and how did it get from your idea to the stage in Las Vegas?
I stole it off a small child.
I was actually sitting in
the control. Careful how you say that.
For sweets, yeah.
There are some shows in Las Vegas that fit that very description.
I'm sure there are, and I've seen most of them. Simon Napier-Bell, the Yardbirds manager, came to me about 2 years ago and had an idea to put a band together of really cool musicians, but actually with a really great set and show. So it'd be a bunch of covers being played by great musicians, but on a really high scale. I mean, we've all seen it in pubs and bars and places, but if it's done with like a Pink Floyd type lighting show, then it should, you know, get a lot of attention. But it didn't. We went to see a couple of people. I went to see Irving Azoff, who is probably the most important guy in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And he loved the idea. And he took it to a couple of places like William Morris and the agency. And they said, for the fee that you want to get, I don't know if we can really risk this much money. So the idea started off in a bar in Burbank called Burbank Bar and Grill over a drunken evening.
As most really great ideas do.
As they do. So we went back to the bar for another drunken evening to actually commiserate and lick our wounds. And then I came up with another idea.
Didn't lick each other.
No, we didn't lick each other.
This which was going to be the original title of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is a family show. Yeah.
Oh, family show.
Licensing problem.
Yeah, we don't want that kind of behavior.
Expert
licensing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll only be in the show for another week.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh.
But what a week.
So, yeah, be a nice week.
Promises, promises.
Yeah. So, the next day, I came up with this idea of making it a chronological story and making it. I'd just done a thing called War of the Worlds in the UK, Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds, mm-hmm. with the London Symphony Orchestra. It's a huge thing out there. We did a load of stadiums, and it's a storyline with this great music. So I thought, what about if we made it more theatrical, but not too theatrical, say 20% theatrical, but add a chronological story from the 60s to the 90s playing my favorite songs, and then choose the best musicians and then tour it. So we did one show at the Mayan Theatre. I got David Kirschenbaum in, who's an award-winning producer. He found Bryan Adams, and he mixed Duran Duran's, all their hits and stuff. Really well-known producer and record company guy. And we went through all these songs and all the things that happened in those years, socio-political things, and came up with this storyline. And then I wanted to add the evolution of radio from AM to FM, to MTV, and then the same with another parallel story with four actors growing older. So that little idea turned into that, and after 36 scripts, we ended up at the LVH.
36 scripts.
Wow. Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Now, did you always want to take it to Vegas, or you just wanted to take it anywhere?
It was meant to tour, and we did this show at the Mayan Theatre, this one show that we filmed to actually send out to promoters. And everyone that came to see the show said, have you thought about taking this to Vegas? So I spoke with Paul Shortino, who was living in Vegas, and he said, well, I'll get you a meeting with the LVH. And we had a meeting with the LVH, and they go, we want it.
So now let's talk about everyone that's in the show. You mentioned Paul, so who else is in the show?
We have got two wonderful guitarists. One of them's wonderful.
One of them's verifiably wonderful.
Yeah, one of them's more than verifiable. Yeah. Tracy Guns, who was original guy in Guns N' Roses, and of course LA Guns, and Howard Leese from Heart.
Amazing.
And Bad Company. Michael T. Ross from Alita Ford Band on keyboards. Jay Shellen, who's been in My Form of Asia for about the last 6 years on drums. He was also in Bad Finger and a hair band called Hurricane.
Hey, take it easy.
Yes.
Take it easy.
But you'd actually been in, Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew Freeman next to me here.
Hello.
Who's job is on the line at the moment. So. He's being awfully nice to me.
Yeah, well.
How did Andrew get in the mix?
Yeah.
Tell me about
that. Well, Andrew got in the mix because I was working on recording. I've just finished mixing today, basically, the album for this show.
Oh, yeah, right.
And we re-recorded everything. But we originally did it with Simon Phillips from Toto and The Who and Lee Sklar and Tim Pierce, all these amazing musicians. And Andrew came in just to sing the guide vocals. And he did such a good job that I couldn't get rid of him.
Well, I have to say, Andrew, and I even tweeted this. I saw the show the other
you
night.
You did. I saw your tweet.
Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
I apologize.
I have to be. It was incredible. I loved it.
I said, who's tweeting? Oh, hello. Who's tweeting about me?
Why, thank you.
Tweet away.
Baby. So, no, but I was watching, and I am the most incredible Journey fan. I mean,
sweet.
I am obsessed with Journey, and I get so mad that all these people, all these singers that come in, I'm sorry to, you know, everyone left in Journey, but nobody can sing a Journey song. It is Mr. Perry, that's it. Nobody else.
Yeah, I think
it's so.
That is how I felt. Anybody that came in, I'm like, it's crap, I don't want to see it.
I agree with you.
There are two people ever, and I, like, anytime someone's singing Journey, my ears are like, bing, you know.
God, I hope I'm one of those
two
people.
Two people. It was you and
to
a man.
To that lead in, I hope so, too.
And it was you and a man by the name of Brody that performed here.
I know Brody.
Brody Dolanik?
Yeah, Brody's the, isn't he the
he's got the Yellow Symphonic
Road guy?
Yeah, yes, Yellow Brick Road, Symphonic Rock Show. Yeah. He's got a Led
Zeppelin. The only two people
great singer.
That I have ever.
You guys both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, like, sometimes I cringe when I hear Journey starting because I'm like, ugh, you know, they're going to murder it. And it was, your vocals were so unbelievable. I was like, I was on my feet. I was singing. I mean, it was.
It's so hard
brilliant.
To sing.
She is totally talking me right out of my pants right now.
I mean, thank
speaking
you.
Of pants.
You're welcome.
Yes, speaking
no,
of pants.
I haven't named
yes.
Robin.
Thank
incredible.
You very much. I appreciate
we
that.
Haven't named Robin.
Robin's
the
pants,
other singer.
Friend or foe.
Yeah, Robin's
well,
pants.
Well, depends on how you're looking at it.
apparently, it reminds me of the drummer from GTR.
Well, I'll tell you this. I share a dressing room with Robin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And an extension.
At the hotel or elsewhere?
Is it real?
It's really there.
Yeah.
It's really there.
Only a dry cleaner can
attention.
Say.
Let's just say my attention.
It's I'll just say it's always
caught.
Very dark. It's always very dark. I mean, the room.
The dressing room or the...
Not the...
I can imagine it's very dark.
And the little Barry White's
room,
playing.
I mean. Yeah. It's always been friendly to me. That's all I can say. It's always been very friendly to me.
It has its own billing.
Yeah, there's the drummer in GTR. Yeah. He used to have a nickname as well, the drummer in GTR. I think he went on to play with Joe Satriani. A guy called Jonathan Mover. He's from Boston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used to call him the Boston Dangler.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Boston the city or Boston?
Well,
the incarnation.
Boston the city.
We'll call Robin the Irish Monument.
So we have Robin, as well as Andrew. Robin McCauley from MSG and Survivor.
Right.
Andrew, and of course, Paul Shortino, who's the local boy here from Quiet Riot and Rough Cut.
It's kind of ironic that Paul's played in Quiet Riot.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that
kind of... Quite right. That's
kind of... Andrew does a great impression.
I do. No,
he does. He does. Too.
It's okay. Carmen's not listening.
It's not an mixed company.
But she probably will be listening.
Well, I was back with me and Ronnie and Jesus Christ and who else was there? John was there. John was there. We're all hanging out. We're having some oysters and John dropped his pizza.
That's pretty much Paul in a nutshell.
It's great. Carmen should embrace that.
Sometimes she does.
So Paul's on the show. But tell me about, here's a question I have. You talk about the album, and you talk about this before the show's run started.
Yes.
What's happening with that? I mean, there was this kind of idea where you do a double album and release it maybe in vinyl and, you know, kind of play off the time. Where is that?
Where do you get this info? I don't hear any of this.
Yeah, well, you're not in the loop, man.
Oh, I'm not. That's right.
This is after you're thrown off the show.
Yeah.
Exactly. Since you only have a couple more days left.
Yeah.
But you can get a job singing Journey to me all the time. I'd pay for that.
How
Thank
much
you.
Does that be?
We'll work it out.
All right. Your roommate knows about it.
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
Great.
Because you talk in your sleep, apparently.
But the romantics are going to be the show.
There is going to be actually 100 tracks released of just our versions of classic rock songs. So we're starting off with one album now with 10 songs on. But we're also going to do a show album. So we're going to actually record the show and do like a double vinyl, as you said.
Yeah.
And do something nice retro thing.
So now, did you know all these guys when you obviously put it together? Did you know everybody or how did you decide
pretty much. I'd worked with a lot of the guys before.
John knows everybody.
All these guys. And, you know, the classic rock circuit really isn't that large. You know, especially when you've been touring. I've been touring with Asia since 1991. So you do festivals and you bump into these guys all along the way. And so you kind of know who not to ask and who to ask, you know. You meet some of the most wonderful people you think.
Well, you show up to L.A. and it's like you meet all these guys and you go, why are these guys not doing anything? And then you spend like a year in L.A. and you go, that's why they're not doing it.
There's a reason. Yeah.
They're drunk down the rainbow every night.
Yeah.
So you have to weed out the ones who can actually do this over a period of time. This is extremely hard work.
I mean, last year to get the show together, it was almost like 20 hours every day I was working to get the show together. Mm-hmm. I mean, days without sleep doing stuff and deadlines.
I was totally sleeping all those days.
Yeah. There you go. You were getting your rest. Now, I would think that you've got so many different talents out there. I mean, obviously.
Well, especially Robin McCauley,
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He has his own talent in dressing room.
From the waist down.
Exactly. So now, I mean, do you have to deal with, I would think, egos? I mean, everyone's had success that, you know, you guys are playing behind each other and some are singing here and there. I mean, do you have any ego clashing?
There isn't really a big ego thing there. I mean, you know, you've got to have some kind of ego to want to be in a band and to get people to look at you and, you know, show them how marvelous you think you are. But in general, the people that we have in this band is just everyone's so grateful to be in the show. Everyone's loving it. Everyone gives 100% every night of the performances. And you know, apart from the first night, the second night, which I told John about the other night, there have been like...
Was that the second or the
no
third
argument.
Night?
It was the second night.
Night yeah.
There been no
I
arguments.
Thought it was there the second night. I must have been there the third night.
What
then.
Happened on this night? Follow-up question.
As nobody will say anything.
A member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame punched
just
the
between
player.
All of us here.
Yes, no one else is listening.
No one else is
everybody,
listening.
Everybody, headphones,
and everybody
listening.
On
air.
Yeah. So I'll speak this very quietly.
So be very
so,
quiet.
So what happened was it was the second night. First night went amazingly well. We thought it was going to mess up because
we
hadn't even rehearsed it.
Figured out that we had to do it again. We're like, oh no, we have to do this again.
It was so difficult running all the pictures and all the video content and everything all in real time. We've got nothing's on code. There's no backing track or anything. So everything's played and everything's flown in manually. So, and it's a miracle to get it to work, especially everyone's performing, you know, the lighting people.
Classic.
And it worked.
Style.
It worked great. We just couldn't believe it. So the second night, you know, a bit of kind of apathy set in, like, oh yeah, this is bloody easy, mate. We can
after
do
you've
this.
Done an entire one show.
A whole one show. Yeah, we got very complacent. And Tracy and Michael T. Ross popped out for a cigarette. So we had a 15-minute break, which kind of was a mistake beforehand because now the show's continuous. But we had a 15-minute break and 10 minutes we were supposed to be back on the stage and then dead on 15 minutes. The rocket takes off from MTV.
It wasn't really a break. It's a costume change for us, for all of us
10
to
minutes
change.
Is not
I had a break.
Oh, you had a break,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, I had a break. So... did you get paid for that? Then,
well, it sounds like Robin's costume changes may take a while to get everything together.
The punch, yeah. Well, it does. You have to unstrap.
Because even that's got an ego. Yeah. Even that's got an ego.
It's got its own.
Well, Robin made it to the stage. The rest of Robin didn't make it to the stage.
Yeah. AM radio to FM radio, then our set changes to basically Rock Vault Music Television, which is MTV, and a rocket takes off. There's a countdown, and then it goes ding 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 straight into Bon Jovi. I start playing the bass line. I look, no Tracy Guns. I look on the keyboard riser, and Howard Leese is up with the guitar and playing keyboards. What the hell's going on? Because he was a keyboard player originally in
Heart. That's very lucky you have something so versatile.
Yeah.
And
we're all very talented.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. In case I haven't said that, you're all very talented.
Robin can play three manuals at the same time.
I was actually serving drinks at this time.
So
it's because I like to do that.
So I turn around.
Robin is out in valet.
Yeah. There's no Michael T. Ross. Tracy Guns runs on stage, puts his strap on, and then all of a sudden we're probably 16 bars into Bon Jovi, and I turn around and Michael T. Ross jumps up on the riser and Howard Leese clocks him with a right hander. As hard as he can, and shouts expletives at him, saying, "Do you ever effing do this?" And pushing him.
Now the song is still going.
The
though.
Song
like,
is still going.
Are people singing?
People in the audience should have noticed that.
They must have done. They must have done.
You should guys should have made this like your Altamont stretch. And
So the show ends. Come downstairs, and Tracy's
the hell
like
just
going,
breaks.
What's going on? I don't want people fighting this band. I'm going home. That's it. It's the end. And it's like doors slamming and this, that, and the
one
other.
One and done.
And then, so the next day I go, come on, let's get together, get everyone together. And Howard's going to apologize to Michael. And we all sit down and have a group hug and we'll be back on course. So we all sat down and they're all shaking hands and everything. I said, Howard, will you apologize to Michael? He goes, nope. He goes, he won't do it again then, will he?
So much for
and
the
he
summit.
Hasn't, yes. So much for that. Now, I have to say that one thing that kind of, you have so much going on. You have video, you have facts, you have actors, you have all this stuff going on the show. I actually had to tweet this as well. It was the best reference to the Hindenburg during a ballad that I've ever seen in a show in my entire life.
The playing of the Hindenburg explosion.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Oh,
yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like Stairway to Heaven, and I'm like, I look at Katz, I'm like, the Hindenburg is going on. Like, it's in flames behind you. Mm-hmm.
It's a Zeppelin.
Well, it's their album
cover. I didn't figure that out. You know, I did. I'm like, the Hindenburg
explosion. It's a Zeppelin.
You know,
but it's not often you see the actual
blonde,
explosion.
No, I didn't figure that out.
Did you know the Zeppelin story? How they got the name?
I did not know that.
Okay, here's how they got the name. Somebody saw them and they said, you guys are terrible. You guys are going to go down like a Led Zeppelin.
Like a lead balloon.
Or lead balloon.
Okay, see, I did not know that rock history. I did not know that rock history. All of a sudden, I'm like,
That's why they became from the New Yardbirds to Led Zeppelin.
You just got way more attractive to me. Like, you were already there, but now you are over the mountain.
Well, to the uninitiated, it could have been like watching the Titanic.
I know, yeah, like, I'm
I am over the moon right now.
You shouldn't say that to John.
What?
Said he's getting more attractive.
I know, look at him. He's over there quoting scripture off of Twitter.
But I wasn't like the best use of the Hindenburg Jesus. In a show yeah. during a ballad that I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing.
Let's talk about the set list here. I do want to ask
Thank
you about
you.
This.
Yes.
You guys sample all kinds of artists all throughout. Just many famous rock bands from The Who, The Stones in the 60s.
Even
the
Van
Doors.
Halen. Your favorite.
Van Halen.
Your favorite.
I love Van Halen, but you play the least favorite. My least favorite Van Halen song.
That whole
the biggest
tour.
Hit, though.
That was that year, though.
It's 1984. Why not Panama?
1984, that was
why the not year. Panama? Why yeah. not? I mean, that's one question I have, but that's just a taste thing. I understand yeah. Jump's our greatest hit. But I wonder about Bryan Adams in the face of a lot of artists yeah. in the 80s, like an Aerosmith, for example. This is a crucial thing, because I've heard people murmuring about why is Bryan Adams doing in the other, aside from David's experience with him, maybe.
Yeah.
How do you, just in general, how do you assemble the set list, and how do you overcome, you know, some of the arguments that you would have against some of the songs you
The cool thing is that the arguments are part of the fun. You know, doing any TVs, radio, or just speaking to people, everyone's got their ultimate set
list. One night we did it, one of the shows, and we played the Journey song, and some guy in the crowd was like, "Don't ever do that again. Don't ever play Journey again.
Like, I will beat him
just
up.
Just like Journey, period.
Yeah, I will exactly. beat him
Even
up.
The pre-Steve yeah. Perry era, because there was that one album
I don't
did
think he wanted any part of it.
We had one guy complain and want his ticket back. We had one guy. So far, complaining, won his ticket back. He said, "I went to this classic rock show." He said, "I didn't know any of the songs."
What?
Holy
he didn't
cow.
Know any of the songs.
Okay, now I am not.
You must not
the,
own a radio
I am not
ever
exactly
in your life
huge,
not to know any.
I'm not exactly a huge authority, obviously, Led Zeppelin, of rock.
No, it's okay. That's, but, that's an obscure story.
But, you know, I mean, I knew every song.
Keep
I was
talking.
Singing along the whole time. I loved the show. I yeah. did. Yeah. I didn't, you know, I didn't know what, to, I really didn't know what to expect because, you know, I see, you know, the your billboards and then there's also the Rock of Ages billboards and I heard this is theatrical. I'm like, is it kind of like a Rock of Ages?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was a little bit.
That's a bit of confusion,
point.
You know, that.
Solid
and
point,
we're struggling with that a little bit, that we maybe people are confusing us with Rock of Ages.
It's really it's hard
a
to put
thing.
We're friggin' awesome on a billboard, too.
Well, you could.
I mean,
just, you know.
I mean, you could do it.
But be lying. Yeah. You're not allowed to lie.
I mean, how
no,
do you,
that would
how
be
do
true.
How do
you obviously haven't seen many billboards
awesome.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
that a phrase like that is doesn't qualify as lying in a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But going back to your original
yeah,
question, that I wanted just to choose were iconic songs for me personally. Because everyone has their own personal list. There is no best song of those years. And there are a couple of questionable songs in there. We did used to have You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't like that. And then the other one that does get questioned a lot is Bryan Adams' Run to You. And we
I
before
would have hated the moment.
We didn't have the medleys.
Why not Asia?
Yeah, heat of the moment.
Yeah, why not
Come
Asia?
On.
Oh, they're
John.
Rubbish. If you'd sung that for 19 or 20 years.
Oh, you're just over it.
But that, yeah. You know what? That is a great song. That would be a great song to open the 80s with.
Yeah.
We're going to have this conversation right here, right now.
Yeah.
That would be a great song.
No, it was my suggestion, you know.
Insane.
Do you want credits or something?
Yeah. And
it's my show.
There you go. Yeah. And put footage of the Titanic behind it.
I'm just trying to get my job back is all I'm trying to do.
But
as long as Howard doesn't punch you, I guess.
Yeah.
Even if Howard punches you, you're not out of the
No,
act,
exactly.
I guess. Yeah. We got to wrap it up, gentlemen, as Robin
says. Oh, it's already
as Robin
it's
says.
Robin
says.
Yes.
Raiding the Rock Vault plays all the classic rock from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Check it out. It's a very fun show. It's here for another about year, right?
Yeah.
Committed to it. And when are your dark nights now?
They seem to vary, but it's mostly Thursday that is dark.
Okay.
It's probably going to be Wednesdays and Thursdays, and sometimes it's a Friday, but... Mostly Wednesdays and
I think
Thursdays.
You're on this tonight.
We're
Friday,
on Friday,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. So check them out. Thank you very much, John Payne and Andrew Freeman, for coming down, and we'll have you on again.
Thanks, John.
Awesome,
Righteous.
Thanks. We love Las Vegas.